There are not enough ventilators.
We've procured about 7,000 ventilators. We need, at a minimum, an additional 30,000 ventilators. You cannot buy them. You cannot find them. They're technical pieces of equipment. They're not manufactured in 2 days or 4 days or 7 days or 10 days.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo talking about the shortage in his state. It's one of the deadliest aspects of this coronavirus, how it attacks the lungs. And that's why ventilators are so important. But manufacturers are struggling to meet the demand amid a worldwide shortage. Two local doctors are taking matters into their own hands. Andrew Frankel and Brian Wong are both facial plastic surgeons here in LA. Dr. Frankel is trying to organize a nationwide network to get ventilators that might be sitting idle in private practices into hospitals that need them. And Dr. Wong, who is also a biomedical engineer at UC Irvine, is leading a team that's trying to create a lower cost ventilator for people who don't need the most intensive care. And they're both on the line now. Welcome.
Hello, Madeline.
All right, Dr. Wong, let's begin with you. Talk about what we have learned so far from the outbreak in China.
Well, this is a disease that really does hit the respiratory system, in other words, the lungs. And the biggest challenge is the individual that needs additional support to sustain ventilation. So the key element in what separates an ICU from a regular bed is the presence of skilled nursing, as well as these ventilators, which are life-sustaining devices and are of limited availability in a global pandemic as such we have.
Right. And you heard Governor Cuomo there say that these are not easily manufactured. They take a very long time to make. They're very complicated pieces of equipment. What you're doing is not creating those ventilators, but something kind of in between. Can you talk about what you're trying to design?
You don't need a Ferrari to carry a bag of potatoes. So this idea sprung from interactions in our operating room about using a resuscitation bag, generically known as an AMBU bag, or rather the other way around, that the human hand squeezes to deliver air. So you can't squeeze a bag for 72 days or 72 hours, but you can make a machine that will do exactly just that.
Okay, and how far along are you in that?
We have working prototypes in Texas with our collaborators. And again, it's a consortium. It's not one person. And we have one that, you know, is almost ready to deploy. We're also working on several different models simultaneously.
Okay, so I'll get into the details in just a bit, but Dr. Frankel, I want to bring you into this. You are tangentially involved with that project, but also your own project of trying to source existing ventilators. Can you talk about how you came up with that idea?
Well, a few weeks ago, a colleague of mine shared an email that she received from her friend in Italy, who was working on the front lines, and he was very emphatic about the shortage of ventilators and the terrible ethical decisions the doctors were having to make in choosing who to ventilate and who to let pass away. And I remember thinking at that moment, wow, I have three anesthesia machines and they all have ventilators, and that's a pretty difficult scenario. Last Tuesday, the city of Beverly Hills shut down all elective surgery. And that meant my facility was going to be closed. And I thought to myself, well, I have these machines, and I probably should get them somewhere where they can be of best use. And if I have these machines, then there may be many of my colleagues around the city who have similar situations. So I started reaching out. And one of my good friends is the COO of Medline Industries, and he's very connected with all governmental and hospital systems throughout the country. I called him within a few minutes. I was connected to the governor of California, governor of New York, governor of Illinois, and the director of operations for Providence Healthcare Systems. And what I got out of those conversations was what was really needed was a central registry of all the available ventilators that might be able to be used for this situation. So I reached out to my professional organization, which is the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, and we began a project to list to all the members a survey where they could offer up their machines if they wanted to. If we can get a central registry, we feel that'll be the most efficient way for the various systems and governments to use these resources without duplicity.
So it's not just plastic surgeons who have these ventilators. There are all sorts of ambulatory centers that have them.
That is correct. However, not everything that's done in these outpatient surgical centers is cosmetic surgery or entirely elective. And so one of the problems we're having is that many of these machines still need to be used to treat the general population who have medical issues that require procedures.
And just your best guess, how many of these ventilators do you think are out there that could be repurposed?
Well, this morning I was informed that there may be as many as 10,000 throughout the country. But it seems that it's going to be a Herculean task to get anywhere near that number to be donated. I think the major hurdle here is that any operating room that's currently sitting idle because of a moratorium or prohibition on their work, the owners of those facilities are not making any income whatsoever. And to offer up their ventilator would mean that they're risking not getting their ventilator back when the moratorium is lifted. In that situation, they haven't been making income for maybe weeks or months, and now they request their machine back, and the machine is not able to come back to them, or it's been in a state of disrepair or something, and then they cannot generate income. They can't return to business as normal. And that puts the owner of these machines in a very big ethical dilemma of taking care of the people they're responsible for, such as family, such as their own employees and their business, versus lending these out to places where they can save lives. And what we're trying to do is set up a situation with paperwork that would provide assurances for these entities that if they give their machines out, they are, in fact, going to get them back quickly.
Wow, yeah. What about you personally? Where are your ventilators right now?
They're currently in my center as I'm working on this initiative, and they're ready to go out the moment we have a clear path of where they're going to go. And that offers up the next big issue here is we give this registry to higher powers. These powers, we're hoping, will put them into play where they're needed most on a timely basis. We're not sure of exactly where the government is going to be able to determine on a real-time basis who should get these machines and at what moment, which brings us back to Dr. Wong's project, which is fascinating and which will save lives because they're going to be able to manufacture lots of these life-saving devices and distribute them where they're needed to.
So, Dr. Wong, your bridge ventilator, as you're calling it, this is for people who are suffering from a less acute need and don't need the full ventilator. How fast do you think you could get these made and into the hands of doctors who need them?
It's a really tough question to answer. It's an engineering design issue. If Medtronic is building a ventilator, it has to work 99.9999% of the time, and that's a multi-year development process. What we're hoping to get is a device that works maybe 95% of the time. That's an incredible hurdle. The problem is you don't know if it's going to be a 95% device or 70% device. And if it's a 70% device, you've done a disservice. So by having a team decentralized with multiple individuals evaluating, validating, and testing, we hope to be able to accelerate that process of trying to get to 95%. In the meantime, we have alternate designs going out there that could be built in as little as 5 hours by probably a very small team of mechanical and electrical engineers. We're talking two or three people.
And so what kind of help do you need from the government, from public officials?
They're already part of this. Governor Newsom's people have reached out to us. The FDA has created a streamlined regulatory process to get these type of devices out there. We've had buy-in from individuals like Jim Abrams at Medline to be able to streamline the process of supply of testing materials. So I think government can help by streamlining the regulatory approach. And I think getting information out there to teams that have the capability to do this would be critically important. It's a Dunkirk endeavor. And I think at some point, yes, people in the community that are modders or hackers, the type of guy or gal that designs a drone, could be building these type of devices once the design has been validated and tested.
All right. Well, wishing you the best of luck, both of you, in your endeavors. And thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. That's Dr. Brian Wong and Dr. Andrew Frankel, both facial plastic surgeons, and Dr. Frankel working on a national registry for ventilators, Dr. Wong working on what he's calling a bridge ventilator project. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, what to do if you're feeling alone at home, advice for fighting depression and anxiety if you're living with others and they're stressing you out. That's next on Press Play.